Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and guess what? It's Friday, TGIF, and I always tell people, shh, I didn't tell today's guest, but I always tell people there are two shows that you don't want to be on. That's my Monday show and my Friday show. Mondays, I've had way too much sleep. Friday, I haven't had enough sleep, so I have absolutely no idea what I'm going to say, what's going to happen today, but I do know that it's going to be a great show. So before I go ahead and introduce today's guest, I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do every day, Monday through Friday. I ask for the same request for you to go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. There's someone somewhere who needs to hear this message. They need to learn this information. They want to be a part of this conversation, and they won't even know about it if you don't tell them that the Roundtable Talk Show is live. So find a friend, find someone you've unfriended, I don't care, someone you've blocked, but they need this information. And we all know that friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So while you're going ahead and sharing the show, I'm going to go ahead and introduce my first guest. And this lovely young lady is a dear friend of mine. You've seen her before. She's been on the Roundtable Talk Show. She's been on Ask Sharifa Videocast. Heck, she's been on Face to Face Talk Show. But she has a voice, she has a message, and she is changing the world. And she, again, is a dear friend of mine who tunes into the show almost every day, Miss Jade Elizabeth. Jade Elizabeth is an emotional health coach who is committed to breaking the cycle of your negative self-talk and disempowering inner dialogue. She helps her clients learn to quiet the self-critic and resolve issues such as low self-confidence, inner conflict, anxiety, fears, procrastination, and limiting beliefs. Trained in NLP, hypnosis, EFT, and many forms of energy, Jade helps people on a soul journey to discover their true inner voice, master their inner critic, and step into the person they know they are meant to be by releasing emotional baggage and unraveling those old subconscious beliefs. Good morning, Jade. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa, and thank you for having me. I'm fantastic this morning.
Of course, I love when you're here. I love when you're here. You always uplift the conversation. Did you have a message for us this morning?
I do. Today, I'd like everyone to think about hope. You know, with the coronavirus, with our government, the way everything is, people are scared. People aren't working. Right now, if you start to think about a little bit of hope, hope can really take you to that next step. It can brighten that inner you that's stressed. Also, I want people to start listening to their bodies. You know, your body tells you when things aren't right, even though we stiffen up, toughen up, and say, oh yeah, I'm fine. That's harmful. So to me, it's hope and listen to your body.
I love the idea of hope, you know, because I'm running for California State Senate and I'm taking the same message that I had before. People talked about different platforms and different issues. And I will always say, before you can resolve or fix any of these issues, you have to give people hope. If they don't have the hope that they can change their lives or get better jobs or not be homeless or whatever the issue is or get off drugs, then they're not going to be able to make that change. So hope is very important. So thank you for bringing that up to us. You're also an author, Jay, correct?
I am. I'm an author of a book called Your Amazing Itty Bitty Self-Esteem Book, 15 Steps to Gain and Keep High Self-Worth. You know, it's probably not a whole lot of new information, but it's information that, and the book is itty. You can see how skinny it is. There's not many pages to it, but women can stick it in their purse or keep it in your car. And when something happens that brings up heavy emotion, you can just open up the book, look to see where that is in the book. It's 2 pages long, and practice it, do it, read it. You know, the idea of healing is bringing everything up to the surface and having it be more aware, and the more aware you are of it, the better you can stop.
I think that's very important. Now, Jay, I am going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. Our next guest is Mr. Stan Kimmer. Stan C. Kimmer is recognized as a leading industry consultant with unique skills in employee development, career development, and workplace diversity with a deep specialization in the LGBTQ+. While at IBM as Director of Global Sales Operations for IBM's consulting practice, Stan served as the executive sponsor overseeing career development for IBM's 3,000 sales operations employees. He has now executed his unique innovative career mapping approach, which he launched at IBM with clients ranging from major corporations to church denominations to professional organizations. And with his high energy, strong communication skills, and sense of humor, he is frequently invited to speak or conduct workshops on diversity and leadership development. Good morning, Stan. How are you?
Great. And I really appreciate being here. I'm really excited about being a guest for my first time.
But you got to come back, Stan. If you're excited, you got to come back.
I would love to.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, Stan. Who are you?
Well, actually,
are you?
I spent 31 years at IBM working in almost every function. And then when I retired early and started my own business, I thought, what am I the most passionate about? What did I enjoy the most at IBM? And those two things were working on IBM's diversity staff and also doing career development activities, because in both of those areas, I really saw that how it really helped people. And I felt that if I build a business around something I'm really passionate about, that I will really enjoy it and I'll do well at it. So I spend a lot of time doing diversity consulting and diversity training, diversity strategy. And I also have my innovative career mapping process that I roll out in companies so that they can engage their employees in long-range career planning. And then your top employees will want to stay instead of leaving.
Yes, when I saw the career mapping in your bio, I was very interested because it seems very timely, not only because the global pandemic that we're in and so many people are losing jobs, but prior to this, we saw a trend, at least I saw a trend. I was laid off 8 times and the longevity in companies really hasn't been there to me for years. I mean, there was a time when you could go be at a job, you're there for like 30 something years, but for me, it was like 6 months, a couple of months. How can you focus on career mapping when many companies don't have the longevity?
Actually, that's one of the messages that I'm delivering to companies. I'm telling them, where do you spend most of your money? It's not on buildings and inventory. You spend most of your money on people. And that is a resource that you need to develop and leverage. And smart companies know that talent and people can be their key differentiator. And this constant churn of laying off people and hiring new people, you're not going to be effective. And so the best companies know that they grow and keep their talent because, you know, energized employees who really like where they're working are going to deliver outstanding results. They're going to develop innovative products and services, and they're going to do their best job in terms of client service.
So as a career coach, again, just simply based on the times that we're living in, I've seen so many people make that pivot or make that shift from being an employee to being an entrepreneur or a small business owner. So many people said, you know what, because of everything that's going on, I don't even want to work for anyone. No matter what the package is or what the offer is, I can do better working for myself. Have you seen that or what are your thoughts, Stan?
Yeah. Yes, I have. And actually, you know, I like working for myself because I get frustrated when I have a boss who knows less than what I know about my subject telling me the wrong thing to do. So what I advise people is try to find that intersection of where you have a special skill or talent, something special to offer that people need, and match that with your passion. Because if you have a passion for what you're doing and a special skill, and you can put those together, that's kind of the best recipe for excelling as an entrepreneur.
I like that resume, but I just, based on what you said, I'm just so curious. How does one say they don't like having a boss and have a boss for 31 years?
Well, what would happen in a large company is when I had great bosses that really understood me and empowered me, I would hold on to them for like 3 or 4 years. And then when I had one of those bosses from hell, After about 6 months, I would kind of start looking for a job internally within IBM. And that's one of the blessings of a large company, is that if you're not happy, you know, where you are, you can find another department to go to.
I definitely agree. You know, again, being laid off so many times, many of my jobs only worked for 6 months or so. And the longest job that I actually held was for 4 years for TWA, for Transworld Airlines. But I would go work at the airport, then come back to call center, then go to the customer. You know, I was always moving around within the company. So it was always new for me. It was always different. I definitely agree, Stan. That's very important. Now I'm going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce my next guest. And my next guest is the lovely, wonderful Miss Dana Hewling. Dana's passion is for advertising and branding. It started through one of her internships. Since then, she has learned many life lessons. Some of these lessons are based on determination and courage. In 2014, she made the decision to take the plunge into entrepreneurship. She is the proud founder and creative director for BID LLC, an award-winning dedicated branding and design agency. Her team works diligently to ensure that businesses are able to utilize communication, design, and strategy to build valuable connections with their target audiences and achieve business goals. Good morning, Dana. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. I'm honored to be here. I'm excited.
You are awake. I can tell you that.
I'm awake. Yes.
I love it. So I was going to try to pronounce the term, and I said, you know what, I'm not even going to mess it up. But part of your message is small and mighty. So pronounce that for us, please.
Likovet Taloa.
Yes. That what Dana just said.
Yeah, that's a Jamaican phrase. It's used to describe the island because we're a small country, but we have like a big and impactful cultural reach. So as a small person, I've attribute it to myself as well.
Yeah, you have small in stature, but your voice, your message is powerful. I love it. Talk to us about your entrepreneurial journey.
Well, that was interesting. So, because if you ask my daddy, he'll tell you that I was destined to do this. But I'm like, no, I want to work for people my entire life. So I never intended to become an entrepreneur. I just felt like I got stumbled into it. It's the Lord's plan. I let go from my last job in 2014. And in the midst of looking for working for someone else, I kept getting lots of freelance positions. And then I got my first Houston clients and met the woman who would become a mentor and a key instrument in just everything. She was a big proponent for women-owned business. And I was like, I'm going to do this. And then when I decided that I'm going to go on my own, and my mother is very big on get your paycheck, have steady income. Daddy's a dreamer. Daddy believes in the big goal, and he thinks I can do anything. So I knew he would be behind me. But when mommy was like, I think you can do it too, 6.5 years later, here we still are.
Yes. So when you took that step into entrepreneurship, what was the first step for you? What was the first focus?
First focus was just figuring out what I wanted to do. So my degree is in advertising, and I'm a creative specialist, but I do a lot. I'm a multifaceted designer, and so figuring out a focus and how to do as much as possible, but not stretching myself thin, just figuring out the structure of it all. And then, of course, the business aspect. Because I'll design stuff for free all day long. I don't do that anymore. Just got to work. But I will design. I love designing. I love brainstorming and strategizing. But you know, rent has to be paid. So you have to make money. Apparently you have to charge sales tax. Things like figuring all the business aspect out was also something I had to be intent on. And that was hard.
Yes, and that's why we all learn from each other. Do you have a YouTube channel?
YouTube, yes, we started that this year, actually.
Okay, what are some of the videos and the content that's on your YouTube?
So we started a series called BID Likovites. And so the videos are about a minute long, and we give tips insight and inspiration into different aspects. Most of it has to deal with marketing and communications, but sometimes we just share fun stories about things that we've had to deal with as a business to inspire other business owners. Sometimes we speak to other creatives because, like, I don't like updating our portfolio. That's just, think about it as updating your resume. No one wants to do it. Mm-hmm. But you have to do it, and you just we talk about those struggles, so there should be something there for a bunch of different people, for everyone.
No, just thinking that, because you're animated, and when you were telling your story, I was like, well, this is very interesting to watch. So I could see your journey through entrepreneurship as told through your eyes. So I think it would be very interesting to watch. Now, Dana, I am going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Ms. Kim Stanwood Terranova. Kim is a woman of passionate power who assists individuals with experiencing true inner greatness and unlimited authentic joy. Author of the best-selling book, The Technology of Intention, Activating the Power of the Universe Within You, Kim has been dubbed the chiropractor of the mind and the master teacher of intentional living. Kim holds a license as a practitioner of truth from the Agape International Spiritual Center in Los Angeles, a bachelor's degree in spiritual studies, and is the course creator and teacher at the Spiritual Liberation in Action class for the STEAM Agape University. Good morning, Kim. How are you?
Good morning. I'm magnificent. I'm so honored to be with all of you beautiful beings. It's like I get energized just listening to you. We're in the same room at this round table. I love it.
I love your energy. We got, I told you it's Friday. That Friday energy is so amazing. Do you know a practitioner by the name of Daiya Jordan?
Well, that name sounds familiar. There's hundreds of us, but that name sounds very familiar. And I've been a practitioner for over 20 years now. So I'm sure we have crossed paths.
You probably have, but if you run into Daiya, tell her you were on the Roundtable Talk Show. That's my mom. She's always at Agape. She always helps with all the wonderful things. That's how I first was introduced to Agape. But I love the power in what you had to say. And so often, you know, with women, they try to hide their light under a bushel. They try to focus on everything but being powerful. So I love the aspect that you're willing to stand in your power and also help other people to stand in theirs. Was that an easy process for you, Kim?
Yes, because I love people. I love individuals. So the process of, you know, when I came to a point in my life of when I caught the inspiration of, oh, there's a path to live in the light, empowered, awake, and I get to practice these tools that I call spiritual tools, you know, but they're really tools that keep us centered and connected to source energy. When that was sparked in me from a path of pain and I started on the path of healing, the drive to share information, to be of service to others was massive, because as I learned, I wanted to share. Till soon it turned into my passion, as was spoken earlier, my passion turned into where I could be of service. And I listen to spiritual guidance and just continue to, I'm open and willing to be of service in the way I am. And it keeps leading me to exactly where I'm supposed to be, whether it's speaking at Agape, whether it's teaching in Costa Rica, wherever I'm at, my willingness to be of service to others and assist them to know who they are, to remember who each individual is, because we all came in encoded with our greatness. It's we get to remember, wake it up and activate it with different tools that all of us here today are talking about. The more we keep practicing those tools, the more our inner light keeps shining brighter and we're a beneficial presence on the planet. So I feel like it's our beingness to be that.
Yes, you are powerful. I like that. You mentioned the tools several times and I'm like, let me take notes. What are some of the tools that we can use?
Well, you know, one of my favorite is intention. That's why my book is The Technology of Intention. And that's one powerful tool. And I ask everyone every day, and I set mine every day, what is your intention before you start your day, before you start a meeting, before today that we came here? When we are working with the tool of intention, we're activating that power within. Spirit's always listening to us. So if we don't have an intention, we're just creating by default. When we have an intention, we're being very clear. My intention is to stand in my power, to speak my truth, to connect with individuals, to who knows what it is. But if we ask ourselves that question, that's a tool, because every day it's, what's my intention in this interaction? We get present and then we're creating consciously. But other tools are meditation and prayer and journaling. One of my favorite tools is running through the mountains, connecting to the earth. Some of my clients, their tools are meditating on a surfboard in the ocean. It's whatever, a tool that gets us connected to our inner voice and our spiritual wisdom. So it can be vast, those tools. The challenge is in this human existence is to use them, you know, is to constantly, daily have a plan of what are those tools that I'm using? Did I meditate today? Did I get up and set my intention before I walked out of the door? And did I take a deep breath when something was painful so that I could center again instead of living in a reactionary world? And we must activate them. You know, I always say professional athletes know this. They get up and they do their exercises, they practice. We must, as human, you know, we're humans, but we're spiritual beings first and foremost. So we must practice our tools to stay centered, just as a professional athlete practices their tools to keep their body toned. And when we get in that mindset, it's an automatic. It just becomes automatic.
Yes. See, I see you nodding over there, Jay. What are your thoughts on what Kim had to say? I saw you.
Well, you know, it's her and I are so much alike, and I just love her energy, and she's absolutely correct. It's like I said, it was one of the reasons that I wrote my book, because when you have, this is a tool, okay, it's not necessarily new information, but it's a little itty bitty tool that you can carry with you so that when something does happen, it's like, oh, you know, I have this. Let me look and see what I can do next. And she's right. Intention is so important. You know, so many of my clients, they'll call me after a while if maybe I hadn't seen them in a little bit, and they'll be saying something, and I'll say, so have you been doing this and this and that? It's, oh, I forgot. So we have so much, but most of the time we do forget to use the tools that we have available. And trust me, Source is always listening. The universe has certain laws that if you follow them, you can grow and flourish. If you don't, then it's just helter-skelter on what comes along.
Very interesting. Kim, I read the chiropractor of the mind. That was interesting to me. You never heard that before. Probably would never hear that again. Talk to us about the chiropractor of the mind.
Well, you know, years ago, a client came in my door and said that to me. She said, I've decided that you truly adjust my languaging and my thinking. And then it started to grow, because words to me are so powerful. We're creating with every word, whether we're thinking it, whether we're speaking it. And very often someone, I could listen to what they're saying and say, did you realize that the words you just used are creating the discomfort you're living in? So can we adjust, make an adjustment, and use words and languaging that are going to hold the vibration of what you desire? I mean, someone that we can use the word from should, I should have done that, which is a word I don't prefer because it has judgment in it, and switch it to could. I could do that. It's just an adjustment. But the power difference vibrationally that is, we just, you know, that the energy is listening to, that the universe is responding to, there's a massive difference there. So it's a simple adjustment. And over the years, as I continue to listen, I catch things, and then I ask people, can I help you with that? Can I assist you with that? And they'll go, talk to me about that. And then it could simply be an adjustment of languaging and words to get back on track to live in what they desire versus create what they don't.
Absolutely. Stan, listening to Kim, listening to Jay, what are your thoughts?
Well, actually, I was kind of smiling when Kim was talking about the intention of professional athletes, because I always like to share that with no athletic experience, having a desk job for years, at age 59, I decided I wanted to pursue my lifelong dream of becoming a competitive adult figure skater with no experience. So I got a coach at age 59, and now at 65, I'm competing on the adult circuit and doing really well. And it is intention. I go, you know, I am up at 5:30 every morning, and I go to the rink and work out with my coach for an hour. And I have to be very intentional about, you know, doing the new moves and learning, you know, and learning what she's teaching me. And so that, you know, that point really resonated with me. And the message is, no matter how old you are, if there's something you've always wanted to do, just go out and give it a try. And then something that Dana said that I wanted to expand on is, Dana, in terms of the work that you're doing, you know, it's very easy to be drawn in and people want you to do free work. But when you think about what you do, you're delivering value to those customers. You know, you're bringing them something that's going to help their business grow. And since you're delivering value, you have every right to charge, you know, a good dollar for what you're doing.
Oh, Stan, definitely agree. And that was something that I had to learn early on. Many business owners will have this, but I know creatives have imposter syndrome, where we doubt everything we know and do for the longest while. So definitely, oh no, but we charge now.
Go ahead, Jay.
To me, it's all about energy. You know, you have to keep the energy level. So if you're giving and not doing any receiving, the energy gets really wonky and then things just don't work the way they're supposed to.
Yes, it has to be balanced. But I want to go back to something you said, Stan, that I really feel was gold. And I just want to ask, and it's not a judgment, but when you decided to be a figure skater at 59, was everyone else as excited, or were there people who said, Stan, dude, you are 59.
It's really funny because I announced it on Facebook on April 1st that I was going to do
Not
realizing. And people thought it was an April Fool's joke. and a lot of people were like, they laughed. It's like, really? And, I enjoy it so much and I love it so much and I work so hard at it that now they're like, you know, really respecting my journey. And actually, US figure skating, they like use me in ads. Skating is for adults too. If this guy can start at 59, you know, anybody can do it.
I think that's wonderful. I think that's powerful. And I always have this little joke because my birthday is the 31st of March. And so my mom was going to wait until April 1st to tell everyone that I was born. And then she was going to say, April Fools, she was born yesterday, but my mom couldn't hold out that long. And she had to tell everyone. So yes, a good April Fool's joke is very funny. Kim, what are your thoughts on what Stan had to say about 59, changing his life, had a clear intention on April Fool's Day of what he wanted to be?
It's a perfect demonstration of the power of intention. Yeah. So thank you for sharing that. It's perfect demonstration because when we realize there is no limit to us as individuals ever. And when we can know that, wait, my intention is to be a skater. My intention is to do it well. So Stan's following his intention. And when we have a clear intention, our actions follow the clear intention. The universe responds. So the law is always in motion. So there's always, you're standing on fulfilled intention and it's only going to get better and better. And every time we celebrate fulfilled intention, we're saying thank you to the universal field for listening and we just create more. So it's a perfect demonstration. Thank you for sharing that. And it inspires me to think of all those languages I know I'm still going to learn in this lifetime.
Yeah. The intention has to be accompanied by hard work because skating is really difficult. And I had to I had to practice, 4 days a week, an hour a day, for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, go to skating camp. So, it's had to go beyond just the intention to like putting in the hard work to fulfill the intention.
Sure.
What kept you going to where you must have failed a few times.
I fractured my hip once. But it's the thing that, because I was always a skating fan and I saw the joy that, the skaters that compete at the Olympics, what they have when they're going out there and performing and just seeing the joy that they got out of it, kind of kept me going. Then also realizing that I'm doing something that's good for my body, that this will keep me in shape, that this will keep me young. And also like learning programs and learning the steps also engages my mind and keeps my mind engaged. And then it's really feeling good when I go out and perform and compete and getting the positive feedback that, people really come up and thank me for, you know, sharing my program and share that, you know, what I did on the ice brought them joy and happiness. And that fulfills me and keeps me going.
Are your the people you're competing against around the same age?
Well, in big competitions, they do split it out by age group. Okay. But sometimes at smaller competitions, they kind of lump us all together. And there are a few times like, you know, I beat a really athletic 36-year-old man in a recent competition. And he was like really, really unhappy. And then I beat this like 28-year-old woman who had like 10 years of dance experience. So it's challenging to compete against the younger people. But when I can, you know, really rise to the occasion and win, you know, it really makes me feel good that, you know, I can do this even if someone's half my age.
I was just wondering, because if I was that 28-year-old, and no offense, and I saw the 60-year-old guy coming out, I'd be like, I'm 20. I got this guy. You know what I mean? That would be my first thought. I want to go over to Dana real quick. We're talking about the power of intention somehow, some way. That's what we got on this show. I love it. But we don't always have to be that next venture, that next journey. Part of it is what we're currently doing. What are some of the intentions you set with your entrepreneurship goals?
With entrepreneurship goals, so with us now for our company, it's how can we grow? How can we support our team? So in those early years where I was trying to figure things out and stumbling along, it really was just me. I had family, I had my mentor, but it was just me. Now I do have a team that supports, and they're the reason we get as far as we do and we deliver the level of work that we do. So it's how can I help these people continue to build towards their dreams while we're helping our clients build towards their dreams. Like this year, we kind of did a milestone. We offer company insurance now.
And so, oh, girl,
it's a whole thing.
Yes. Wait, I'm going to have to interrupt you for a minute. I know you was going on, but that's what I tend to do because that's very important. I think it's a lot more than just a milestone because there are so many companies who will not offer any type of insurance or anything at all. It tends to be something that was standard years ago, but is absolutely not standard now. So the fact that you even care enough to do that, I just wanted to take a moment and say that.
Well, thank you. It was scary offering that. And then the world goes into a global health crisis, but we're all still here and everyone has their insurance. So that's great. But it's just, we set intentional goals and we've understood what we need to do and we work. And that's one thing, as Kim was talking, I felt like I need her to speak to my clients, because when you work with small businesses, we're intentional about helping them, but it's helping them be intentional with what they're trying to do. We're a full service agency. I can sell you a lot of things. I can sell you every single service you want. But as a small business with a limited budget, you may not need everything. So figuring out where you're trying to be and be intentional about your brand, about your messaging, about how you're communicating with your customers, like that's really where you should be focusing on. That jumping back and forth, well, this month we're going to offer this, this month we're going to offer that. That's problematic for most people. And it doesn't help you in that long term. So I do actually love this topic of intent, and it still ties into communication for me and branding, because that's where my mind went.
So Kim, Dana wants you to speak to the clients. What are your thoughts?
I'm ready. When would you like me to get to Houston? Or Zoom land in?
Yeah.
I've found that so much success when I'm able to talk to a company and the individuals of it and get everyone aligned with the same core intention of the company and then their individual intention to fulfill that core intention. I do it with families where I'll sit with a family or couples, you know, and ask, like, when we can know what is your intention, what is yours, what's the intention of this relationship? Then we have a through line to that. All choices are made in that. You know, if a couple comes to me and I said, what's the intention of your marriage? And they give me the qualities. It's always based in qualities. Not, you know, the outcomes are the byproducts of beauty that comes from these qualities. So if they say honesty, divine love, authenticity, and that's their core intention, to stand as a body of love and authentic nature, being honest and loving in all their actions, well, then the actions that they do each day follow suit to that intention. As Stan was saying, his actions to skate follow that intention. You had an intention, but then your actions follow it, because then you're in alignment of fulfilling it. So it shifts companies, it shifts families. The healing that occurs in a family when everyone knows, no, our intention is to speak in a loving manner. Our intention is to not assume, and, you know, to have no assumptions, and to be so willing to ask a question, to be willing to have difficult conversations. You, entire family gets healed because they have support of that's where we're headed. You know, so whether it's a family, a company, whatever it is, intention is the key to creation, individually and collectively, which is why right now in the world is we each have our own intentions to stand clear and calm and acceptance. You know, I did a retreat. Some people came, and it was by I have very big outdoor space that's the fire came through in Southern California and took my retreat center and home less than 2 years ago. So now I have land to build. I'm going to be building a new space. So that everyone had plenty of space to social distance in the midst of this retreat. Mm-hmm. And in that, I was saying at this time in human history, you know, one of the things we get to really be intentional on is our acceptance of one another and where we each stand in this time in human history, because we all are moving through it the best we can. But if we have judgment of that person believes this, or whether it's politically, whether it's medically, then we cause more divide. You know, we're already in a positioning of being separate due to what's happening in the world. So our intention to stay connected is vitally important. Stay connected. We must live in acceptance and non-judgment, and find a way that we could not agree with someone, but still have acceptance of them. So all of that leads to our individual to, you know, collective belief systems to assist each other.
Yes. Yes. Jay, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, one of the things that Kim says, and I truly believe this, is that we all do the best we can do at the time with the information that we have. And if we all look at each other like a person might be acting a certain way, look at inside yourself why. What is going on possibly for this person, and why they're being the way they are? Mm-hmm. And give a little kindness, give a little thought. You know, if we all lived from love inside and looking at everyone's divineness, because source is within every single one of us.
Yes.
And in my belief system, there is only one of us here. So if there's only one here, what I'm saying to you or this person or that person, I'm actually saying to myself, and is it kind and loving?
Yes.
To me, that's so important.
Yes, I definitely agree. But I want to go over to Dana. When you talk about your advertising, your marketing, you also mentioned communicating with your brand. What are some of the ways that brands can be clear on their intention, on their message when they're putting it out there?
Consistency. Like, that's my whole thing, like consistency. And that's why you need to understand, again, what your goals are and who your target audience is. And if you're consistent in your message, like, everyone knows we're trying to be remarkable. Like, if you want mediocre work, do not come to us. We're trying to be remarkable. I will say remarkable until the word is just exhausted. But you need to be clear and consistent with your messaging. Of course, you may, I like to use Target as an example. They have tons of different target audiences because they use, they have a bunch of different offerings, of course. But they're consistent in their messaging, and they may tweak things depending on who they're speaking to in that moment. If they're trying to sell makeup and fashion items, that audience is slightly different than them talking about their pickup items. And Target's not one of my clients, so I'm not being paid for that message. But I'm just saying, it's an easy to grasp example, but they're still consistent in how they deliver that messaging and the tone of their messaging. And you need to be consistent, because that's how people remember you. They're being bombarded by thousands of different messages and communications. And if you don't know who you are and where you're trying to go and where you're trying to take the people that, or what they should get from interacting with you, it's really hard for them to click, and they'll just move on.
I think that's a powerful point that I personally would just tweak slightly. You know, there are certain keywords, like Kim was mentioning earlier, that I take out of my vocabulary. And two of those words are the words try and trying. You are remarkable. I am is one of the two most powerful words in the English language. I am remarkable. So I would claim that for you as well as your team. You are remarkable. And when you came out and you said consistency as a business consultant, that is my number one word. Be consistent, because people come to me all the time and they say, Sharifa, everyone talks about how easy it is to make money online or make money through social media. And I have never made a sale. And I go to their social media and they made one post in January and then another post in August. And they're like, but nobody's, you know, and I'm like, okay, but you're not posting because you laugh, Stan. You understand what I'm saying?
I usually blog. I've been writing 2 to 4 blogs a month for 10 years. And I keep that going and keep that consistent.
Yes. Kim, your thoughts?
I love all of this. I'm so appreciative of everyone's wisdom. And Sharifa, I'm giggling in your core intention feels like it's being fulfilled right before us. You know, that your intention to bring together the individuals who are to share and connect on a certain time, it's brilliant. So I acknowledge you for allowing all of us to be part of your intention.
Yeah. Also, that intention message really goes in well with the diversity work that I do, because when I work with companies around diversity, you look at gender and race and age and LGBT and people with disabilities, and every single person is unique from everybody else, but they can have intention on within a company and organization uniting around the mission, vision, and values that even though everyone's coming from different perspectives and everyone is unique, there is this one place where they can rally around. I now like to add the word intention to it. So it's a company's, you know, mission, vision, values, and their intention that all diverse people can rally around and agree upon.
Stan, for people who are watching the show right now who are unemployed or maybe they don't know what direction they should go in, what is some career advice that you can offer?
I would say instead of looking at this is what I've done, look at what are the skills that you developed in what you've done. Look and catalog your achievements and kind of make a list of these are the things I achieved in previous jobs, especially if they're measurable. And these are skills that I built. And then kind of expand your vision. Don't just think about, oh, I need to go in the same field or get a job doing what I did before. All the different ways that these skills can be transferred to different positions and different jobs and expand the scope of what you're looking for. And even if it's something that you've not done before, you know, go out on an interview, talk to someone and share the important skills that you have and the value that it can deliver in that position. And I think sometimes we're too narrow when we're looking for employment. We think, oh, I can only do what I did before, but you can really expand in terms of what you're looking at doing.
I think that's powerful. And it reminds me of, again, I was laid off 8 times and I had been hurt psychically and, you know, mentally by all of this layoffs. And I was like, oh my God, with all these short-term jobs, I'm never going to find a work again. I was in this mental space and I went to an interview and the gentleman looked at my resume. He goes, wow, you have the resume of an engineer. You have so many different skills. And that changed my mindset on how I looked at things and I approached it from a different way. Because I can tell people now, I can network computers. I can build a website. I can do press releases. I can do SEO. But all of it is because of the skills that I learned at these various different jobs. And right now, today, having my own company, I use all of them. So that's very powerful. But it might have affected my self-esteem, Jay. So how are some of the ways that people are going through this that they can deal with it?
Well, to me, one of the things is, I think someone might have said it earlier too, change the way you look at it. In other words, change your story. Okay, we all have stories of why we can't do something. Because mom said this or dad did this or whatever the situation. But if you change the way you look at it everything in it changes. It, to me, that was one of the most important things that I did in my life because of some of my circumstances when I was younger. Now, when I look at it, it empowers me rather than makes me vulnerable and feeling sorry for myself. Mm-hmm. So now, change.
I hear you, Jay. And just because I know you and I love you, I'm just going to hit you with one of the hard questions. Okay. There are many people who are watching this and go, yeah, that sounds good. But to actually do it is not as easy. What do you say to those people?
Well, do you want to sit and feel sorry for yourself for the rest of your life? Or do you want to be empowered? Do you want to be like you see other people? You know, we all have choice. And it's a choice. So I don't want to say anything wrong, but it's like, do it or don't. You know, if you want to be successful, if you want to start moving forward, do it one step at a time, but you have to desire it. For I have clients that want to feel sorry for themselves. And when they talk to me, I change it every single time. The language, just like Kim was saying, change your language. Your language also changes things that are internal. Words create emotion. And that's one of the things I work with a lot with people are their emotions. So if you use empowering words, then the emotions you feel are calm. They're better. They make you feel like going and doing something greater and better for yourself.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand completely. If anyone tunes in to yesterday's show, we had a guest by the name of Robert Foster, and Robert's podcast is called Shut Up and Grind. So, of course, I understand what you were saying when you said, I don't want to say anything wrong. So I had to ask Robert, like, in the middle of all this global pandemic, people are usually going for, I'll have to ask Dana about this, but they're going for a softer sale, a softer message than shut up, you know? And he was like, well, that's been my message for years. And sometimes people just need to shut up and do it, you know? And I was like, okay. But, you know, Dana, have you seen like messages this year be more softer, more understanding as a result of everything we're going through? I give the example that to me was like kind of a joke, but it's true. I was watching television one day and I saw a Verizon Wireless commercial. And Verizon Wireless is like, we're here for you. We're available for you. Whatever you need, we're here 24 hours, 7 days a week on VerizonWireless.com. And I'm like, haven't they been available on VerizonWireless.com for like ever? But it was their message. Dana, am I wrong?
No, you're right. And everyone has been, well, not everyone, but a lot of companies have done that transition. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it works. If that's the brand, and it comes back to that consistency and that intent. If your brand has always been super aggressive and cussing people out and you switch to the tone and you don't do it in the right manner, it's going to come across as inauthentic. And that's the one thing you never want to do. You always want to remain true to who you are as a brand and who your audience is. Because that's, if they follow you, that's who they came for. Of course, people want to know that you're sincere. Like, our whole tone is, why be good when you can be remarkable? And we're yes. here for our clients. But at the end of the day, we need to figure out business needs to keep moving. And we that's kind of how we were in the beginning. World is changing. So if you can't do the things that you needed are you trying to do at the beginning, take a minute to take it all in, because there is some mental trauma that we're all having to grasp with the world shutting down. But then we need to, and that's how I actually had to do with my business. There was a panic of, wait a minute, I can't get any clients right now. How am I going to pay my employees and all this health insurance? But what can we do to keep moving forward? And what do we need to do to make sure that this is not our last year?
So what did you do?
For us, so we created quite a bit of resources. We have some free resources on our website, information about Google My Business, how to set that up and use it for businesses, because especially restaurants, you can have your menu, all that stuff on there. Digital tools. We've been a virtual agency since inception. So using digital tools to operate and be effective, that's second nature. So we shared our favorite tools as well as alternatives that people could change from. We had a webinar, and then of course I rebuilt our website.
She said, of course, I had time. Let me figure this out.
I'm now, and I just felt like it's been 6 years, and we're supposed to set the examples for people. So I figured now is a good time to like step it up. Mm-hmm. And so we rebuilt our whole website. That was a big undertaking. My team actually thought I was crazy as hell, but they love it now. Love it now. But it's just, yeah, we had to do that. And we had to pace ourselves, of course, because we never tried to talk like things haven't changed. People aren't moving in the same space that they were. But we were still about, let's communicate. The people, even if you're not able to make a sale right now, be present, because the people who are with you during times of crisis and panic are the ones you're going to come back to and remember when things are good. I don't want you to abandon me when times are bad and then expect when things are good and I got money now that I'm going to spend it with you.
Well said. Kim, what are you seeing from some of your clients as far as how they're able to maintain during this time frame?
I'm loving all of this. And that consistency is right on track, is that many people have leaned into really grabbing the gems of being with family, in engaging in a new way, finding what is it like to everyone to be at home and have a different level of conversation. So I'm watching many people have this closeness and simultaneously see where they can kick into more consistent practice so that they can maintain the pearls. I call it the pearls of the journey when we're all back in the world again. Is that, to me, that's the key right now, is those elements of what we've learned in our quiet moments, we now have the opportunity to intentionally live them forevermore. We don't have to forget again the power of exactly what Dana just said about where, you know, where's my attention when it's hard, and then live it out into the world. And when Jade was talking, I loved what you were saying, Jade, about, I don't, you know, do you want to stay stuck? There's times I'll look at my clients and say, I'm not going to fight for your limitations. I'm here to fight for your expansion. And I can't say that to someone who just comes to me, because I have to honor their journey. And everyone, we get to discover when it's time to say, I'm right here with you, but I'm going to launch you. And I'll ask people, are you okay if I push you right now? Because I'm going to energetically push you to remember who you are. Because when we fight for our limitations, as Jade was mentioned, we stay stuck in the story instead of looking for the pearls. If we could find the pearls, who did I become because that went down? And when we discover those are the pearls of our journey, that's what lifts us. I had a client this morning who said to me, he just had brain surgery this year. He survived. And he said, that was the best thing that's happened to me in my marriage because it changed how close we are to one another. And I said to him, I said, wouldn't it be great if as humans, we knew that when the challenge was before us, we could say, there's a pearl in here and I'm going to find it versus this is horrific. We must be seekers of the wisdom that comes in the base of the challenge instead of staying stuck down by it. I'm not saying that's easy. I'm not saying, but it's a journey. And it's what we get to keep seeking at times like this. Now we have to live it. Now we have to live our insights.
Yes, that's what we have to do, live it. Jay, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, one of the things that I use, the wording I use is that we're in our box. Mm-hmm. And if you think about a box has four walls to it. We need sometimes assistance to help us to look outside of that box, because that's all we know is what's in the box. But if people know that you care, and that's one of the things that I always tell them, you know, my clients, you know, I really care. And you know I care. And when they agree, then I can be a little more assertive to help them to change their language or to actually look outside the box that they're in, because that's where their magnificence is.
Yes, I think that's powerful. Now we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Stan.
The main point I want to express is diversity is a great thing, and you can leverage diversity and your uniqueness to do good things about expanding your career. And also, this is the ideal time to start a business, like the work, the things that Dana has done, that if you start a business now, when we're kind of in an economic depression, when things get better, you're going to be really ready to take off.
Yes, absolutely. Where can people find more information on you, Stan?
TotalEngagementConsulting.com. Check out my website, my skating page. I have skating videos out there, and you can read my blog. And you can always email me at Stan at TotalEngagementConsulting.com.
Yes, yes. Dana, what do you have for us?
For us, it's always, again, be consistent and be, I'm going to have to piggyback off the message, be intentional with what you're doing. If you're going to be intentional with diversity, because it is instrumental and it can impact their stats about how businesses are more successful when they are diverse. But be intentional with your communication. Build your brand intently. Whether you have a business or you're not a business and you're just someone looking for a job, start building your personal brand, even if you have no intention of being an entrepreneur. Just figure out what it is, who you are, and what it is that you can bring to a company, and work on that. And be happy, be remarkably you.
Yes, yes. Thank you for being remarkably you. If people have questions, where can they contact you?
Best way, our websites, danahuling.com or bidcreative.com. And then my email is dana@bidcreative.com. I'm always happy to answer questions and just talk about all things branding. And then, of course, if you have branding needs and communication, we are a full service agency.
Yes, thank you. Kim.
Wow, there's so much to still say. So rich. What I wish to impart is that I just want to invite anyone who's listening to really be gentle with themselves right now. Like, everything we're discussing is about growing and expanding and healing in really challenging times. And it's possible. So to remember to be gentle first and foremost, and then that you are absolutely unlimited by your very nature and are working with an unlimited source. So anything's possible, and be gentle on your growing edge so that you can consistently acknowledge yourself, grow some more, and keep going, because truly anything is possible, as all of us are experiencing in our lives. And we've all been through stuff. Everybody's in the midst of stuff. It's what we do with it. So be loving as you expand beyond it and start intentionally creating your life.
Yes, thank you, Kim. Jade, what do you have for us?
Well, one of the things that I want the audience to really think about is the next time you have a negative thought about yourself, I want you to tell yourself that it's okay that you're feeling that way. And in a moment, I'm going to say it's okay to love myself, because part of really growing is loving the person that you are and really being that person. There's always help out there if you want to shift things, but it always starts with loving the individual that you are. You know, we all have messages, and the message that you need to share with the world, even if it's just being a mother, being just a friend, the people that you come in contact with can only hear that message from you. And by loving the person that you are, that message will come out, and you can help both you and the rest of us in the world.
Yes, that's what we all need to do. Help each other and deliver our message as us. whoever we are. I want to thank you all for joining me on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. Just because you didn't catch the live show does not mean you're not important. And it doesn't mean we don't still need your support. Please go ahead and share this show. But please don't just share the show. Don't just watch the show. Please support our guests. Their information, their websites is in the Facebook post. Follow them on social media. Reach out to them. Send them that message. And when you do, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to pick up your tickets to my New Year, New You 2-day teleconference on December 29th and 30th, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until Monday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed weekend. Bye now.